Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. My life is worth the living just because he lives. He's alive, and it's exciting. Father, I pray you'd bless your word today as we gather our families close, as we snuggle up to our spouse, as we welcome you into our home today. Maybe we're watching all by ourselves, but I pray this word would be exactly what we need in this season that we are living in. Bless our church today. Bless those that are viewing from near and far today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. This is perhaps the most unusual Easter I've ever lived. In fact, I would say it is absolutely the most unusual Easter I've ever lived. You're at home today instead of gathering at church, and that feels a little odd. This is probably the first time, if you're a church goer, probably the first time that you've done Easter this way. And I've even heard some lament saying that Easter was canceled. Literally, people are saying, well, let's cancel Easter and we'll just celebrate it at some other point in the year. I say, no way, no way. You can't cancel Easter, because Easter is more alive than it's ever been. Jesus is more real right now than he has ever been to all of us. We're calling it Easter everywhere. We're outside of the building today. We've determined that Jesus is bigger than the house. And so we're having Easter in your home and across hundreds of homes throughout this community. And it is exciting. In fact, I honestly believe that our church is stronger than it ever has been. Sure, I miss seeing our church kids hunting eggs out on the front lawn and running around while moms and dads worry about them getting their Easter dress or their little Easter suit messed up. I wish all of that was happening today. But wow, did you hear our church kids today singing Risen? Wow, it was awesome, and it was fantastic, and I love it. In fact, I would love for you to help us see how strong our church is right now by just typing your name in the chat. Just say, hey, I'm here. Bob, Sue, Sally, Tim, Tom. Just say, I'm here. Our church is alive, and we are strong, and we are thankful for the opportunity to worship together. You've still got time to share this stream. You can hit the share button. You can create a watch party if you're watching on the Facebook Live. You can invite your friends to hear the rest of this Easter message with you. But hear me today, as strong as we are, as resilient as our community is, these are challenging times. Why? Because we have more questions than answers. Questions like, how long will America be closed? Questions like, how long can I feasibly work from home, or maybe you have the kind of job that doesn't work from home, and yet you're not going into work, and you're wondering how long that can last. And then school has been interrupted for the remainder of the school year here locally, and we're wondering how all of that's going to work. What about my kids' grades? And I'm trying to email this teacher and not hearing anything back, and trying to upload assignments, and I'm wondering how any of this is going to work, and how any of this is going to come out in any kind of good or positive. I mean, there's confusion right now. Lots of confusion because information changes daily. It almost changes hourly on some days. One day they're telling us, you don't have to wear a mask. You're not in any danger. And the next day they're telling us, yes, if you're going to go outside or go to pick up food, you need to make sure that you are wearing a mask. And so there's lots of confusion, and there are lots of questions. But can I tell you on this Easter Sunday morning that the first Easter had plenty of questions also. You remember that story? I'm going to remind you today, but I'll tell you also that there were some who were in quarantine on that first Easter, just like you are today. John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 11, begins to tell the Easter story, or at least the resurrection part of it. Verse 11, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Why is Mary crying? Well, Peter and John had run up ahead of her, and they had come back telling her that Jesus was gone. She was a part of the intimate crew who laid Jesus in that tomb and made sure that his body, his crucified body, was wrapped properly. And so they're saying that Jesus is gone, and automatically there are questions, and there is confusion that comes to Mary because she doesn't understand what possibly could be happening. And verse 11, John chapter 20 goes on to say that as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She's peering inside the tomb, and I can hear her thoughts today because this is so confusion. She's saying, I have to see this for myself. I know Peter and John said that he was gone, but sometimes you just don't believe a thing until you see it for yourself. And so she peers in, and she's looking, and while she's looking, and the obvious face of confusion can be seen. The Bible says in verse 12 that two angels in white were seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And Mary is saying, no, this is too much. We left Jesus right where you two are sitting. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what in the world has taken place. And they asked her in verse 13, they said, woman, why are you crying? Why are you crying? What do you mean, why am I crying? I mean, really? Are you going to ask me why I'm crying this particular Easter? I mean, some of the things that are happening. I mean, I'm stuck at home, not to mention these kids that I'm having to deal with. And if that's not enough, I had to cut my own hair. I got all kinds of reasons to cry. But she said, I'll tell you why. They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. They've taken Jesus away. It's not just a matter of them taking him out of the schools. It's not just a matter of them removing his commandments from a courthouse. It feels like Jesus in this season has been taken away from me. And quite honestly, I don't know where he is. Everything about my life has changed. Normal has flipped upside down, and nothing in this season is the same. And verse 14 said, at this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. I want to make sure this scene is set for you and that you understand exactly what's happening this Easter, because Mary, who is one of the closest followers of Jesus, one of the dear friends of Jesus, she has been radically saved by him, her life mercifully spared because of Jesus. She's committed to following him everywhere and doing anything for him that she possibly can. She has given her life and her complete and total heart to him. And so this day is so very difficult. But even when she sees someone, she knows as well as she knows Jesus, she does not realize that it's him. You know why? Because questions breed confusion. Yeah, questions and confusion, they go hand in hand. Whenever we're living in a season of questions, whenever we're living in a season of confusion and not even knowing what day it is, I've seen hilarious memes during this quarantine and stay safe at home, that no longer are the days of the week Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday. It's just this day, that day, today, and tomorrow. People have completely lost all sense of time. Our schedules are completely turned upside down. That's what happened. She's in a time where she's facing real questions, and those questions are bringing confusion. And so Jesus, who she doesn't recognize as Jesus, asks her this question. He says, "Woman, why are you crying?" Why is it that this situation, I know some of the things that you've been through. I was there. I know some of the things that you faced. I know some of the things that you've dealt with. I know some of the pain that you've endured in your life. So tell me, why is it that this situation is shaking your faith? Mary, you watching today, ma'am, you watching today, sir, was your faith already teetering? Were you already feeling as though you were holding on by one single thread, and then a virus shakes our community or a pandemic hits our world, and now all of a sudden you're feeling as though things are not going to work for the best? And he goes on to ask her, who is it you are looking for? Who is it you are looking for? What a question that is. What a question it is for you and I today. What a question it is for your family watching this Easter at home worship experience. What, or more importantly, who are you looking for in this situation? Are we depending on a government official to be the answer? Are we hoping that some doctor comes riding in on a white horse that has the super antidote? Are we looking for some superhero type character to come in and save the day? What are you looking for? Who are you looking for in this situation? I think that's a great question for you and I to answer. What What is it that I am searching for? And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Just tell me where he is. I'll go get him and I'll put him back. If I could just get my life to go back like it was. If you'll just tell me where you put him, I won't report you. I won't write you up. I won't post on social media. Just tell me where he is so I can put life back the way it was just a few days ago." But you realize today, you realize that if everything went back to the way it was, that Jesus would still be dead. You realize that if Mary could have gotten her way just craving that sense of normalcy, just, you know, I had had time to process the fact that he was dead and now all of this has changed. And if I could just put everything back the way it was, I had finally come to terms with that. I'd finally come to terms with my life at that level of chaos and now it's reached another level of chaos. If I could just go back to that original level of chaos, but you realize if you go back there, something that the Lord is trying to do in your life is going to be left undone. Hear me, I don't like our current any better than you do, but I'm trying to see, I'm waiting for it to be revealed how much better it's going to be when we get to the other side of this crisis that we are living in. We have lots of questions right now, but I don't want to turn back the clock just yet. I'm quarantined in confusion today, but I'm believing that Jesus has a good reason for raising himself up, Mary. You think aha moment. You think Jesus had a good reason for raising himself from the dead. You better believe it, Mary. You just don't know. You're quarantined in confusion right now. But what Jesus did, it's going to change your life. It's going to change the world. It's going to make every difference for you and for me. No. I don't know why this is happening right now. And I don't believe that Jesus caused what is happening right now. But this is what I do know. He absolutely will get the glory from it. That begs the question because it's the question on everyone's mind. Everyone automatically asks why God allows tragedy and why he allows suffering. And I very much understand the question. I'm empathetic to the question. And maybe you're wondering why things haven't worked out in your life. Maybe someone shared this stream with you and it's the first time you've heard someone open up the Word of God since you were a young child and you're tuned in. And I beg you to hold on with me. Don't leave. Don't click off and be distracted by something else that pops up in your notifications. Hear this for a moment because I want to give you the answer today. The answer is this. Our world looks exactly like the choices we've made. My life, it looks exactly like my decisions. I'm quarantined in confusion and I don't like it one bit. But I want you to look today through the window of someone else's quarantined house. Not literally. I don't want you to go look, spy on your neighbors today, but look in the Word of God to some other people who were quarantined in confusion. Because just like you, they're facing questions. John chapter 20 and verse 19, the Bible says that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. They were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. I mean, on one hand, I'm like, finally, I'm not alone. There's someone that feels what I'm feeling. I watch this news. I hear these reports. I read this stuff on the internet, and man, it brings so much anxiety in my life. But hear me on this Easter Sunday morning. You have to manage your fear. You know why? Because your fear is not from God. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not even pointing my finger at the media today, but hear me. Someone is in the fear business. Fear is trying to take over, not just a single house, not just the cul-de-sac you live in, not even just a town. Fear is trying to engulf our whole world. And I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Did you hear what I said today? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Here's what I need today. I need a man of the house. I need a praying mama. I'll take a spiritual student or young person. I need somebody to look at everyone who's in the room with you right now. And if it's just you by yourself, then say it out loud, not just in your head, but say it out loud. And everyone in the house say, "God didn't give us this fear. God did not give us this fear." I know I may lose some of my quiet believers. I may lose some of my friends that don't get as passionate as I do. But someone ought to walk around your house today. Go in every room. Go in every closet. Go in every bathroom. Go upstairs. Go down into the basement and rebuke fear. You ought to tell it to get out of your house and do it today. Type "no fear" in the chat today. Whether you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or at thechurchcov.com, go ahead and type "no fear." I reject fear. I push all fear out. But notice verse 26. The Bible said a week later, they're still in quarantine. I don't know how long this is going to last. I'm hoping it ends very soon. But the reality is we don't know. We don't know. We don't have exact dates or times or how long we're going to be living this way. But the Bible says a week later, his disciples were in the house. Though the doors were locked, they're still quarantined in confusion. But Jesus came. Man, Jesus, they're locked in their house. They're quarantined in confusion, but Jesus came. Hear me today. It doesn't matter if you're at church. It doesn't matter if you're at work. It doesn't matter if you're at home, if you're in a park, or hear me, it doesn't matter if you're living in hell right now. Jesus knows where you are. And is anyone glad that Jesus can come right to where you are? Say amen right there in the chat. Send those thumbs and hearts up the screen, because I am glad that Jesus knows where I am. And he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." He came into their quarantined house and he said, "Peace be with you." Our time today is coming to a close, but I needed to talk to some people who are quarantined in confusion. I needed to speak to some people who are having Easter at home. Like Mary's first Easter, you have questions. Things are not settled. You're surrounded by uncertainty. And here's the deal. I can't make this virus go away, but I can lead you in a prayer today. I believe I have something that can help you today. In fact, if you'll get up from where you are, carry that phone, carry that tablet. Just keep this stream on in the background and just walk to a window and look out. I dare you to. If you'll look out, you'll see Jesus coming to your house, coming in to your quarantined confusion, filled with questions mind. Jesus will come, and he's coming to say, peace be with you. Peace. I want you to have peace in your life, peace in your heart, peace in your home. Maybe today is your day to receive Jesus. I can't think of a better day to get saved, to give your heart to Jesus. How do I do that, Pastor Darrell? It's easier than you think. I want to pray with you. You can pray with me. You can borrow my words, or you can use your own words, but say something like this out loud right where you are. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood that I could be forgiven, that I could be made brand new. But Lord, also thank you for getting up on that third day. Thank you for resurrecting on Easter Sunday morning, so that my hope could be resurrected and my life could be resurrected and my joy could be resurrected. Today, Lord, I receive you. Today, I accept your gift of grace and mercy in my life. Heal me, help me, save me today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You ought to be clapping right where you are. You ought to be saying, thank you, Jesus, right where you are. And hear me today, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want you to be bold. I don't want you to think twice. I don't want you to worry about who knows you're watching this. I just want you to type the word follow. People have been doing this the last couple of weeks online, and it just blesses my heart. Type the word follow. You're communicating to us that, hey, I prayed that today. I believe that Jesus has begun a good work in my life. And if you'll type the word follow, I promise you we're not going to bug or bother you. We're not going to get on your nerves or hound you. But we would love to send you a virtual copy to your email or your inbox of this book called Following Jesus. It's just about next steps. It just kind of helps you know what to do from here, because Jesus absolutely has a plan for your life and you don't want to miss it. Amen. Come on, send those hearts up the screen. Say amen right there in the chat. We are thankful for what God has done today. He is amazing, amazing, amazing. Until next time, we love you. We thank God for you. Have a wonderful Easter Sunday, and we'll see you here real soon.